title of this message is Truth More Than Church. Truth More Than Church. I guess that's a complete title in and of itself. I realized something a couple days ago. I'll say it maybe this time and maybe a few more times, but anyway, it has to do with Nicodemus. And we know the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. But what I didn't realize that he was a Pharisee. Not only a Pharisee, but he was a ruler of the Jews, it says. And he came to Jesus by night. And so Jesus began to talk to him in the second chapter, or the third verse of John. Get to it eventually. And anyway, all of the comments that he made all the way down through the 21st verse apparently were to Nicodemus. And this famous John 3:16 verse is one that was included in this. Which it's a conversation. There's no break in it here. So apparently, all of these things were said to Nicodemus. You know, God so loved the world, and that He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And after these things, and He came and He went in and went to Judea, and. And he tarried with people, and he baptized. Now, the thing that is amazing is that Nicodemus said, in the beginning, he said, Rabbi, you know, teacher, we know that you are a teacher that came from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God is with him. Now, the point about it is, who are the we that we're talking about? Are those more of the Jewish leaders, the rabbis, those that crucified him? He came unto his own, and they received him not. You know, they believed that he was a teacher from God? Or is this just a statement? You know what? I believe that's more than just a statement. I think that when he said, we know that you are a teacher that came from God, I think a lot of them knew it. But there's a thing. And what it is, it's like, I don't really want to give up what I have. You know what I mean? And that's what God is counting on. What is eternal life worth? You know, are we ready to become isolated unto Him and unto His Word? Or do we want the praise of men? What do we want? And there's another verse that I really this morning I was going to mention something about. I never got to it. But it's in Luke, the 10th chapter, and verse 42. And I'll see if I can find it so I can read it accurately. I can't even get to Luke. But anyway. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in the 42nd verse, Mary, the mother or the sister to Martha, was listening to the words that Jesus was speaking, and as a result, she was not really doing her homework. You know what I mean? Her taking care of the housework. Yeah, her homework. Yeah, her housework. And Martha became kind of irate and got a little upset with her and said, "Lord, are you going to leave her to cause me to do all of the chores myself?" And Jesus makes a strange statement, one of many that he makes. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are cumbered and you're concerned about all of these things. But Mary has chosen the best, the good part, the best part." And then we never pick up these little words. And it says, "And this shall not be taken away from her." And I thought, you know what? We are taking in God's Word. And the Holy Spirit is getting involved. And was that you this morning, Ken? I think so, that mentioned about the... We're starting to recognize what's going on. the Spirit of God is taking over. And He's beginning to lead and guide us into areas of truth, which are only found in the Word of God. And so, anyway, the thing that we're getting now by the Spirit will never, ever be taken away. We will have them forever and ever. Isn't that kind of what it says? It'll be a part of our system forever. And so, anyway, I'll get to the message. I'm a little bit on the slow side, so. Things don't happen just the way I want them to here. Maybe the title of this message, instead of Truth More Than Church, should say Truth More Than Religion. Maybe that's what it should say. But either way, this is where I'm at. You know, truth more than religion. And the devil is a master deceiver, and as such he works to convince millions that their church or their religion is the same as the truth. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. It's the same thing as truth. Okay, we go to the Baptist church or whatever church, and well, yeah, we believe the Bible. We believe every word that is in the Bible. But our church has determined exactly how to interpret it. And so church after church interprets the Word of God according to their traditional beliefs. And that's what it is. And somebody mentioned that today. And so they believe that their religion is basically the same as the truth, whatever they believe as a church. And in fact, I heard someone make this statement and said, it is a good feeling to know that you have the truth. I heard this years ago. I realize that what he said is a feeling that a lot of people have as they look at what they believe. He wasn't the Lone Ranger. A lot of people, they go to their church and they say, well, I am really glad that we have the truth, no matter what it is. I'm glad that we have it. And in fact, some are so convinced that they are right, that they will kill others because of their strong conviction. Now we say, well, yeah, that's the Muslims and some of these weird Eastern religions. But you know what? The Christians have been as guilty as anybody else. And they have killed one another over the years because, and I tell you what, the revelations that are coming to us, the revelation that has come basically out of the scriptures and having to do with such verses as the one that's up behind me, the 1 Timothy 2, 4, and 5, that is a killer. You want a reason for the church to dislike you? There it is. But it's scriptural. And like somebody said this morning, okay, so you have that verse. But the strange thing is you have lots of verses that support it. And there's a scripture that says, and I just still didn't look it up. I know where it is, and I never look to try to find it. It says that let every word be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. We have one scripture, Matthew 28:19. One scripture, no other support. And yet we have the vast majority of the church goes by that one verse of scripture. And somebody this morning made the statement that they, in one of their Bibles, it says that verse was never, it's not in the older manuscripts. It's in some of them, but we have manuscripts that have been added after the second, you know, after 200 years. And so some of the manuscripts are going to give the things that they believe 200 years after Christ. See, when people kill, it is the evidence of the lower nature that came to man when the devil defeated Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they developed or began to develop their lower nature. Because under the new covenant, we are to love one another, not kill them because they disagree with us. We don't see that. In fact, if men preach, but it is not willingly received, they are supposed to move on to another city. Is that what the Bible teaches us? go on someplace else and preach. And why? You know what? We're starting to understand that, and let me tell you, and this is not a braggadocious statement. I'm saying that 90% of the church world does not have a clue as to what we're saying. Not a clue. You preach the word, and you go to another city. Those that receive it, you know what? So you come back and preach. Some of those you preach to are ready to receive it the second time around. And the thing is, it's not us that's doing the work anyway. And that's what Jesus tried to tell them. He said, once you see me, you see God. But you're not really seeing God. God is invisible. But what you're seeing is the nature, the makeup, the way that God does things. This is who God is. And so there are those somewhere who will buy the truth and sell it not. And if and when they recognize it as a truth, the big thing today, and maybe the big thing today, will be for men to, sorry about that, to recognize the Bible as the Word of God. Now this is going to be an issue. That's going to be a big issue. Is this the Word of God? Or is it, according to the Lutheran Church, is that the Word of God? What is it? Well, anyway, we have to believe it over and above the doctrines within the churches. And that's why I said truth more than church. And there are some of those, there are people that in the highways and the byways that will buy this. They'll look at it and they'll understand. See, long before any of today's strange church doctrines ever existed, Mark 1:15 records Jesus as saying, "Repent and believe the gospel." And I'm saying that this may be one of the things that God will raise up a people to do in the last hour. Repent and believe the gospel. And why, I'm not sure. However, I think that men may be raised up by God who will preach the Word of God is the truth. See, the Word of God is the truth as it is. And repent, therefore, from whatever you believe that is not found within God's Word. Now, a lot of the things within the churches are not found in God's Word. Some of the things are twisted by the Scriptures. And Peter said that, you know, that there are those who take and twist the writings of Paul. Well, Paul wrote a lot of things. And so they twist them to their own advantage. And so we have to preach that the Word of God is the truth. See, it is the truth. But that does not mean anything to most people because they say we believe in the Bible. And I'm saying that is not the truth. People don't believe the Bible as it is. And so instead of repenting for what they believe that is not found in God's Word, they have demonic forces that have convinced them that what they believe is God's Word, and it requires trained specialists in order to interpret it. And so it says that we are to believe every word of God, or we are to go by every word. Every word. Isn't that what it says? And so if men have not kept the Bible with as many translations as is, but you know why? What the Bible has, and this is a strange thing, then this takes revelation and understanding. God has kept the Bible as it is. And while we look at it and we say, but how do we can't trust it because men have translated it. You know what that is? That's slipping from the spirit into the natural. Because if God kept it the way he wants it, then that's the way he wants it. And we have to understand that God has kept the Bible as it is. And one day, as I can't even explain it, but Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples. Is that pretty basic? If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. So what are we doing? We're continuing in his word. What's happening? We're becoming a strange sort of creature right here. And the other day when we stopped over to Susan's and Corky's, and I told Joanne after we left, I said, I have just heard the strangest things ever. I am hearing something that I'm not familiar with. In all of my churchianity and my affiliation with all of the different churches, I'm hearing something coming out of two people that's causing me to look at them as strangers. Weirdos. And I say that respectfully and politely. We are going to become weirdos. And if you do, you know, it says, if you, to as many as, let me quote it right here, desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. I'm not quoting it right, but that's what it says. To as many as live godly, who will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer great persecution. And, see, men have not kept the Bible with its translations intact. God has. And, in fact, see, the thing about it is, I'm 80 years old. And for this total time of 80 years or so forth, it doesn't really give me much of a jump on anything. What have I learned in 80 years? You know what? I've learned mostly things from the world, mostly things from the churches. I mean, that's what I've learned. And so finally, God in His mercy redirected me, us, to listen to the Word as a little child, to humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And in due season, God will make sure that things turn out right. But you know what we're doing is very difficult. It is so hard to actually just trust God. Especially when we have all of these self-proclaimed, you know, experts who are telling us to trust them. And so, it is vital that who will be that all of those who will be saved go by every word that is found within these translations, and not just what some organization wants them to go by. See, it's important, it's vital that we go by every word. The devil is subtle, he's tricky, and he has convinced prideful, high-minded men that whatever they think that they know is the truth. I was in a meeting one time, and I heard a great, you know, one of the leaders of the organization that I at that time belonged to, and I kept hearing him, and he was making all of these statements. Well, I believe this, and you know, well, I believe this, and having been a part of this organization for all these years, I'm convinced that this is the way that it is. And I thought, I was just dumbfounded. I am sitting in the presence of royalty. This fellow, when he says, I believe or I think, I am hearing from God. You know what? I wasn't the Lone Ranger. Lots of people feel the same way. And so men convince themselves and others that men ought to be taught the philosophies that they believe, say whatever it is, and thus, very likely, it is the beginning of another misguided church organization. Isn't that how we have all the organizations? The theories of men with the devil's help. And see, the very basics, or basis, the very basis for a private interpretation is that somebody determines within themselves what they do or do not want to go by. See, that's a private interpretation, which puts men in the driver's seat. And so instead of acknowledging God as the one who determines all things, we are the created ones that God created so as to only hear and do what He said, you know, like Adam and Eve. Do what I say. Just do what I say. I created you. Do what I say. So here we are 6,000 years later. Have we gained anything by not doing what He says? So what do? We hear him and do what he says. And he tells us, that Matthew 7 church setting where we allude to this quite a bit. And he says, I'll tell you, he gives us a picture of what he's talking about. He says, those that build their house upon the rock, upon the Word of God, those are the ones that when the wind blows and the floods come, they're safe because they're built on a rock. But the ones that build their house on sand, you know what sand does? It shifts. And so those are the ones then that are, when the floods come and the water and the rain comes, they're going to be washed away. And so we don't want, what we've had is men in the driver's seat. I've always looked at it that way. I've always felt like, and I hate to use a name, but let's say with Don Burnett, I have always felt that his teachings were just beyond reproach. Whatever he taught. And so when I was in the church before that, and one day we got the orders, I don't know how else to say it, we'll say orders, from the church headquarters that we were to teach this new line of, and I was teaching Sunday school. I had a large class of students. And so I was teaching out of the Bible, and these kids were just ecstatic. We went from a handful of kids, went up to over 20 kids, 25 maybe, students in the class. And they were awestruck at the things they were hearing. And you know why? The Spirit was getting involved. I didn't know what was happening. And I was teaching out of the Bible, and then I get this Sunday school material that says, we no longer can accept the myth of the virgin birth. And when I saw the word myth, I says, I don't think so. And I went and told the pastor, I said, I can't teach this. And he was a sweetheart. He said, I don't blame you. I wouldn't teach it either. And so he threw it himself, in the garbage. And but you know what? There's lots of other people that bought it and taught it. And if you don't accept the virgin birth, what exactly do you have? See, men in a driver's seat. And so instead of acknowledging God as the one who determines all things, we are the created ones. So then God has created us so as to only hear and then do what he said. Adam and Eve, see, they didn't do it. And so, but pride within men elevate who they think that they are, and they see themselves as greater than they really are, and maybe even equal to God or as for God's created beings. And so for God's created beings to in any way try and match wits with God is in the category of the unpardonable sin. I'm not saying it is, but it's in the category. In Romans 10:20 and verse 21, God likens his creation to pieces of clay. And I tell you what, he put that in there just for me. That he forms in whatever way that he pleases him, and as such it would be unthinkable for the clay to even question anything that the potter does. You don't question what the potter does. Have you ever worked in a pottery? Have you ever made any of the clay pots and stuff? Have you ever done it?
Never done it personally.
When I was going to college up in Ashland, they had a place where they did it. They had clay and they would mold it and make it into different things. I don't think I was very good at it. I can't remember too much. But I became really familiar with some of the equipment that they used. And to mold these things and make them and if they didn't like one, they'd take the thing and they'd crumple it together and start over with the clay. And actually, it is being likened here to the same thing. See? He has this clay and he makes it into whatever it is that he's looking for. But if it doesn't please him, he crumples it. And So it says it would be unthinkable for the clay to even question anything that the potter does. And so for the most part, the church as we know it has no idea as to who the Creator really is. And I mean, not that I do. We're gaining momentum, but men try to define the God whose ways are past finding out. They try to define him. That's why it says that you shall not make any graven images of God. We have no... How can you make an image of an invisible God? The best we have, and of course people jump on this because they want an image, is that when Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father, and so they grab a hold of it and they say, oh, there we go, that's God. But if they looked at the scriptures, it says God is not a man. He never was, he never will be. But he inhabits men. He takes positions within men. And so, if his ways are past finding out, then how do we describe God? How do we describe something that is totally unknown and unseen? And yet, when Jesus said, he that sees me, the man Christ Jesus, when you see me, you also see the eternal, invisible God. Does that make sense? It makes absolutely no sense. Because it says he was the expressed image of the invisible God. It's not some kind of an image that we're familiar with. And so when the Bible says that we were made or created in God's image, I have had a lot of different thought patterns that have gone through my head over this thing. See, the puny little minds within men jump to conclusions and say, oh, that's what God looks like. However, from the rest of the scriptures, that could not possibly be what Jesus meant, because in Colossians 1:15, it refers to Jesus as the image of the invisible God. You can't come up with an image of something that's invisible. How do you do it? And so, if and since God is invisible, then exactly what does he really look like? Well, Hebrews 1:3 refers to Christ as the expressed image of God's person. And what happens, because the Bible is worded in such a way, he's the expressed image. Meaning, if you express something, you vocalize something. So what he spoke was giving us the picture of God. So when it says that no man has ever seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, which I don't understand, he has declared him. So what we have through the scriptures is declaration after declaration after declaration of who God is, not what God looks like. If we saw God face to face, if that was a possibility, we'd die on the spot. It says he told Moses, he says, nobody's ever seen me and lived. And I don't know what that means, but I don't like the sound of that much. See, from the rest of the scriptures, okay, what exactly does God look like? And it says that he is the expressed image of God. The express, does that not mean an expression? Is that what it means? He's the express image of the invisible of God's person. How about the one born and sent to bear witness to God's words of truth? So I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. And I don't think that yet that we have even an inkling as to what the value that God places on truth. I don't think we even have an inkling. We have been so washed by the church world, and we have been so deceived by the enemy for so long that we get a little truth and we want to run with it. Isn't that kind of where denominations start from? God gave Martin Luther the revelation that the just shall live by faith. So, you know what? That's enough for him. And that's kind of the way the church has been. But you know what? The just did not live by faith. And so he only spoke what the Father told him to say, or God's divine nature image. And he only came to do the Father's will in Hebrews 10, verses 7 through 9. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Meaning what? In the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the volume of what is written, it is written of me. I came to do your will, O God. You know what I discovered? In the volume of the book, it is written. In the volume of the book, it is written that he came to do the Father's will. Okay? And so, meaning, the entire Word of God tells us that God brought forth his man's son so as to do what the first Adam was not able to do. And the big thing was to do what no other man could ever do. Nobody else could do it besides. And that was the perfect. That was to perfectly do the Father's will. And so the God who sees the future by foreknowledge saw his only begotten Son and knew by foreknowledge how perfectly obedient his Son would always be and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," even before he did it. Because that is who God is. So even before Jesus had done anything, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Why? Because he's going to do what I ask him to do. And those with wrong Godhead concepts say, well, of course he was perfect. He was God the Son. Of course he did what was perfect. However, that is not what the scriptures tell us. And that is going to be an issue. How well do we know? See, he overcame as a man. He told us that if we overcome as men, people, we can sit down with him on his throne just like he overcame. I can't imagine God the Son having to overcome. He said, I am sat down with the Father in the Father's throne. You could sit down with me in my throne if you overcome, just as I overcame and am sat down with the Father in his throne. I'd like to know who overcame. See, we have to go by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God's word. How do you like that way I worded that? We have to go by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God's word. Did I say anything different? Not really. If we believe that this is God's word. However, when we hear the wrong spirit and when we draw false conclusions, when we pick and choose the scriptures that we want, you know, that's called private interpretation. When you pick and choose what you want, that's private interpretations, then we end up hopelessly divided. And I mean, that's kind of the situation that exists today. And so what is the basis for today's hopelessly divided church dilemma? The private interpretations of men have replaced the eternal words of truth that God tells us to do as little children until God interrupted my church thing, you know, and directed me to where life really is. Well, you know what? I had to get away from the thought pattern, which I had it. You know, I had a lot of strange, weird things inside. When deliverance started, I didn't believe in it until we got in it. So help me, I might have been this nice guy that I hear about every so often, but I tell you what, not so. I was against what I was doing. The next thing I do, no, I'm doing what I'm against. That remind you of Paul? He's on his way to Damascus to kill Christians, and the next thing you know, he's preaching for them. It's like, does it make sense? Uh-uh. Nothing that I have experienced hardly makes any sense. And God directed me. And I was as confused as the rest of today's hopelessly divided church. And so today, men try desperately to have what they call unity through diversity. I love that. And I hate that. I love using the term. I hate the implications. I think the I think the right word for this would be unity through confusion. Because that's what we have. And as such, I do not believe that most of today's churchgoers understand the value that God places on truth. I don't think most people do. And to make it even worse, I'm not so sure we do. So instead of reading God's word and believing it, men submit to religious organizations that wrongly interpret God's word based upon partial revelations several hundred years old or more. The Trinity. Nobody in their right mind could read the scriptures and come up with a Trinity. But because it's there, and we don't want to go against those in office, you know what I mean? We don't want to rile up the troops. So we go along with it. And after a while, you go into a church and you say, I don't know if I can go along with the Trinity. But you stay there long enough, you'll go along with it. And they will convince you that it's right. And your mind will get deceived. Most churchgoers see church attendance as their goal or their relationship with God. Most do. And as such, by being in church once a week or more, they meet their spiritual obligations, which is the law mentality. It's legalism. And such, see, we have a very short time of church in this church. And yet, I would say that we are in church in this body more than anyone else that I know of. We're here an hour a week. Do you know that we're in church 7 days a week? I am in church nonstop. But it's not as the world sees it. It's as something else that's happening to us as we are beginning to see it. God has had great mercy on us and is taking us out of the nature that we have known as church. He's taken us out of it and is developing His divine nature within us as God's holy and righteous thoughts and ways are replacing our carnal and natural makeup. And you know what? That is the truth. That is what is happening. I'm in church pretty much on a 24/7 basis. I listen to the scriptures nonstop. Is that church? Whereas I now am beginning to experience an inner glorious change that I never had ever experienced, that has developed through the weaknesses of what I used to consider church. Church, as I have known it over the years, is nowhere found within the scriptures. The church thing that I was familiar with, it's not in the scriptures. I thought, where do you find this? Anywhere. You don't even find it in the bad situations. It's worse. In fact, for the most part, that what we have is a disgrace. And the reason is because the illogical thought patterns of men were used to replace the faith-building power that God wants to build His church on. When Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and in power, we have yet to see that. And I am convinced, and I'm more convinced today than I was a week ago, that we are going to see a demonstration of the Spirit and in power, and I think that we're going to see it through Corky and Susan. And through Susan, I think God's going to use her mightily. Paul, who was the apostle to us Gentiles, told the Corinthians, he said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. You know what? That's all I've ever known. I didn't use men's wisdom. That's all I've ever heard. And I want to say, speak for yourself, Paul. He said, I didn't come that way. And see, that's my Christian experience. In fact, everything that I have ever known had to do with a great intelligence that God has given to men, until I was thinking that God gives men intelligence for the sake of teaching those that aren't so smart. And the only interruption to this whole thing is when I receive the Holy Spirit, okay? When I received the Holy Spirit and saw the power of God come down that had nothing to do with the wisdom of men, when I saw that, it interrupted my thinking. And of course, when deliverance came in 1982, it also set men's great wisdom to the side. There was, you know, wisdom. However, men's wisdom tried to control deliverance, if you remember carefully. Men's wisdom tried to control deliverance, which sort of made a mess out of it. See, God will never allow men's wisdom to direct any work of His Holy Spirit or anything that allows the flesh to try and glory in God's presence. Jesus said in Matthew 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you are what? Spirit and life." And anyway, because, see, God is spirit, and so, and He used His totally obedient Son to speak through, and so is it any wonder that natural men stumble and fall and flounder when they try to make sense out of something that is not even within their league? Of course we can understand the Scripture per se. I need the Holy Spirit because the words are spirit. And since the things of God make no sense to the natural mind, carnal men then see them as foolishness. And so when you speak in tongues and you talk about speaking in tongues, you talk about some of these things, then the natural man is not even able to know the things of God. I mean, they don't make any sense. And it tells us this in 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says the natural man, he is not even able to know the things of God. And because they are all spiritually discerned. That's what it says. And I say so much for places of higher Christian education. I heard a story one time about this fellow, a minister maybe, that sent his son to a Bible college. And he said, when I sent him, he was a Christian. When he came home, he was an atheist. And so I'm saying that most of these places are a waste. And most Bible colleges, liberal unbelief is taught as well as anything else. Liberal unbelief. I went out to, one of the goals when I went to Seattle was to go to the Pacific Lutheran University. See, men seek earthly education as a means to find God, never realizing that they're actually getting farther and farther from God by their education. And in fact, God hides the truth from those guys and reveals His truth to the unlearned babes and sucklings in Matthew 11:25. And the reason is because spiritual truth and revelation only comes by discernment through the Holy Spirit and not through the mindsets of men. Are we starting to understand that?
Yes.
Why? Why are we understanding that? Give me a good thing. When the Bible says that by faith we understand, it's like, explain that. How does somebody understand by faith? I'm just teasing with this, but you know what I'm saying? See, I was programmed all of my life so as to make education a goal and an objective. However, God short-circuited this thing and began to direct me into a way of life that He wanted me to go. As such, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, with speaking in unknown tongues, which made all of my education theories and plans obsolete. Once you get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, see, tongues is one of those God's foolishness areas so as to confound the wisdom of any generation. And it worked pretty good. In the prophecy by Daniel, in chapter 12, verse 4, we are told that at the end of time, knowledge will increase. And Peter prophesied in, okay, now we got two different prophecies. Peter prophesied in Acts 2:39 and said that the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, which confounds the wisdom of knowledge, and the wise and those with knowledge, is also given to them in the distant future, even as many as the Lord God shall ever call. So wisdom is going to increase. At the same time, so is he's given the gift of tongues to every generation right to the end of time. But they don't go along with each other. So what do we have today? We have wisdom at one of the highest levels we've ever had. We have little four-year-olds that can do things on computers that I don't even know how to turn the thing on. And it's like, what are they going to be when they grow up, if they ever get a chance to grow up? What's going to happen? See, since God created all things, how much knowledge will there be yet to be found at the end of time? What's ahead of us? I mean, these guys are going nuts out here. There is no way that man is able to find all that there is. Do you think they will have totally run out of things to find at the end of time? When God ends this mess, ends it all, you know, everything that there is, we will not even have begun to find the things that are available to find. That's how far beyond us God is. And since the ways of God are so much higher than man's, so God allows men to find things in the earth, I think. Okay, this is speculation. I think God allows men to find things in the earth that sets them off course. Or, you know, how about skeletons that never had a body to start with? Could he do that?
Sure.
And, you know, the carbon data measurements that men put a lot of stock in, and yet they have been proven to be ineffective. There was a story I heard years ago, and I don't know how accurate it is. I just heard it, where a fellow had lost a bunch of animals in a fire, and he dug a great big hole and he buried them. And the archaeologists came along and they dug up some of these bones, and they put them through the carbon data process. And anyway, and they said, well, these bones are 10 to 15,000 years old. But it happened, the guy that buried him was still alive. And he said, I don't think so. He said, we buried those because these animals were burnt in a fire.
And then they made dinosaurs.
Huh? Yeah. And, you know, it's not that dinosaurs didn't exist. That's not even it. And if you believe the Bible is the absolute truth, and you believe that God gave it to us through chosen men that he ordained before the world began, then you are of all men most blessed. If you can believe, if you believe that, you are blessed by God. See, Jesus said that the words that God spoke through him were, number one, they were spirit, and number two, they were life. And well, guess what? There are two things that we must have in order to enter into the realm of the next life. So when natural-minded men listen to natural-minded teachers, they're like dead driftwood that's being swept out to sea by floodwaters. You know what I mean? Can you imagine that picture? They're just being swept out to sea, and there's no life in them. And it's causing, but anyway, and as the ongoing intake of God's word is causing my faith to greatly increase, the picture that I get of today's church condition as we are getting ready to face end time is scary. It's scary. And I'm thinking that God's going to call people out of the churches. Because church doctrines and traditions have all but replaced God's word of truth, very few are actually being led to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Very few. How many programs do you ever turn on and hear this being preached? But rather are told that their relationship with some form of godliness organization is their salvation. Been there, done that. I may have even preached that. And so like sheep being led to the slaughter, millions may face a horrible shock on the day of judgment. You guys got any hands you can loan me? I've got too many up here. But anyway, the question is, they're going to face a horrible shock. But the question is, do I care? Does that matter to me? I mean, what's that got to do with me? Millions are going to face, you know what? I know that that's going to happen. there's going to be a lot of people that are going to face a horrible shock on the day of judgment. Well, somehow, God is causing me to care. I can feel a care. And as God is not willing that any should perish, we better not be either. We better have God's heart in this thing. And I'm not suggesting that we do anything prematurely. I've done that. The devil loves it. Move before God leads you. The devil loves that. And I've taken the rotten tomatoes. I've had doors slammed in my face. I've done these things. I've also seen the other side, where we were actually were led by the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of difference between the two. But rather, when the Lord turns the light green, I couldn't think of any other way to say that. When you got a green light, there you go. Then you'll be ready to move. You know, I've tried too many times to try and sneak past the red light. The truth is, to as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they're the true sons of God. I'm afraid, and so here we are. We're sitting here, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're getting older, and we're getting older, and we're getting whatever else. And it's like, what's going to happen? Well, I know some that have jumped prematurely. And you wait for the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, I don't think that God is that anxious to send out poor representatives of himself. Do you? How many people witness and say, I'm a Christian? And others look at them and think, they don't act like Christ and they don't sound like Christ. And of course, I mean, I've been there, I've done that. See, there are some who delight or glory in persecution. I'm not one. I may sound like it, but I'm not one. However, in 2 Timothy 3:12, it tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's promised. If you want a promise, there it is. And so to be persecuted for ungodly behavior is not really the right way that God wants. If it's ungodly behavior and you're persecuted, that's not, you know, but some people will even glory in that. Yet if you really want to receive a love for the truth, you know, and want the truth, you will separate yourself from those who have no vision for the truth, and it will cause you to come out from among them. And say, that's what happened to us in that church situation. And it might not have been, it might not even be your choice. And they may separate from you because they are essential, and they thereby don't go by the Holy Spirit. And so that's why they separate. It says, who are these that separate themselves? They're using their own senses. They're not going by the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Spirit. I have pretty much quit claiming that I have the truth, no matter what I sound like. But I tell you what, I do have one thing that I feel is good. I have received, and I am receiving, let's put it that way, a love for the truth. I want it. And you know what? There's so much truth that is out here beyond my comprehension yet that I better just take it easy and let truth come as it comes and let the Holy Spirit give it and not get over anxious. And another thing too, when God turns a light green, you think we've been gaining revelation as it is now? Wait till the light turns green. We will know in 1 week's time what it took us 6 months. Because it's just like deliverance. Deliverance is not for today. That was something that was in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the beginning. That was just for them guys, but not for us. The next thing I know, we're in the middle of it. It totally changed my perspective. You know what? A lot of things are going to happen just like that to us. See, I have never, ever before had the desire to know the truth that I now have. It's a real desire. And I have found a newfound faith somewhere, something inside of me that tells me that the Holy Spirit will make sure that I get it. If I want it, He will make sure that I get it. And I now understand that if we allow the Holy Spirit to give us truth and understanding, that God will use us, or whosoever, to help others to see the truth that he shows us. The prophecy by Daniel. And he said, you know, that, and they that understand will instruct others. Understand. It has to be spiritual understanding, or he wouldn't say that. Do you follow what I'm saying? It couldn't have been just natural understanding. See, there is no way, and especially in this time of great spiritual darkness, there's no way that God will not raise up a people who will preach the truth of his word to others. Is God going to leave this thing and leave it stumbling and bungling and the big fat mess it's in? I say, not a way, not a chance. I think Joel chapter 2 is a prophecy concerning of the end of time. And when people read it, not knowing what else to do with it, I've heard every interpretation under the sun. But I think it has to do with the end time. God's going to utter his voice before his army. Before them is the Garden of Eden. Behind them is a desolate wasteland. There's going to be a mighty, No, but what do they do when they pick the fruit and harvest? There's going to be a mighty harvest. Do you think I could think of that word? As simple as it is. And most people, and especially program church leaders, are closed off to the truth. They're just like the Pharisees. And the thing that I'm wondering, I think the Pharisees kind of had an idea that he was who he said he was. And I think Nicodemus gave us a little clue. We know that you're a teacher sent from God. He's a leader of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. I think they were so caught up in their stupidity that they were unwilling to change. They loved darkness rather than light. You know? See, the church leaders, and that's all, they've always been closed off to the truth because they love church. They love their darkness. However, the highways and the byways are filled with those who really want eternal life. You know, the parable, I don't think that was just a little accident in there. He says, none of these shall enter into my supper. None of them. Go out into the highways and the byways and compel people to come in. Is that kind of what you feel like doing? Get in here. Not this church, but into the kingdom. Get in the kingdom. There are those who are fed up with form of godliness church systems and who will repent and come into the righteousness of the kingdom of God. I believe that. I think we're going to see an unbelievable thing, and even in my old age and my handicaps and whatever else, whatever I have, I got a feeling I'm going to see it and be part of it. And if I'm not, you that are a lot younger than me are going to. Anyways, God bless you. I love you. And the machine worked the whole time. Is that good?